Hey everyone, welcome back to this 8th episode of Tabula Cast for January 22nd, 2008. I'm your host, Sean. And for this episode, the theme is the biotechnician. What I'll do is, I'll do it like I've done for the other class-based shows, and I'll talk about the weapons, the armor, the logos abilities, the pros and the cons for each of the different aspects of this Tier 3 class. And then hopefully I'll be able to give you a little bit more insight into playing a biotech if you'd like to start one, or even if you're already playing one now. And then I'll have my top 5 tips segment, I'll have a fan side of the week segment, I'll read over some emails, and then I'll have my closing thoughts. But first, of course, there is the news. The topic that is on everyone's mind lately is the newest patch, which is 1.4. That is now, it's actually live now on the test server, but it will be coming soon to the live servers. There's no definite date yet, but it should be pretty soon. Now this is a huge patch, probably the largest or most significant patch that we've had since the retail release, because this one will introduce not only new missions and the much-needed bug fixes and the usual game improvements, but also a huge buff to character development with the hybrid options. So let me explain a little bit about these. The hybrids are just as you'd expect. It's a way to make mixed races now in Tabula Rasa. And with this includes racial traits and other changes that we haven't experienced yet because we've only been playing the humans. But this kind of thing, this racial trait thing, is not a new thing at all. You know, it's very reminiscent of other MMOs with racial traits, such as World of Warcraft, LOTRO, things like that. Now, each hybrid has their own advantages and disadvantages when it comes to these racial traits and the way they affect attributes and things like that. And this is all based off of the human's +2 to body, mind, and spirit just across the board. Each hybrid is also available through a mission which unlocks the availability of each hybrid for your account to either clone or create a new hybrid from scratch. But either way, once you complete these missions, you will get a clone credit. So let's go down the list here and start with the Forian hybrids. I'll post some pics of what each of these hybrids look like so far. Some people who are on the test server have taken some screenshots, and they're all over the major forums, especially like, you know, Planet TR. So I'll get a few of those together and put them in the show notes for today. But as far as the numbers go, the Forian hybrids offer +1 to body, +3 to mind, and +2 to spirit. So as you'd imagine, this means that they have decreased body compared to the default human stats of 2, and they have an increase to mind, while spirit remains the exact same. They also have a +10 to virulent resistance and a -10 to laser resistance. So far, there are 3 possible faces with these Forian hybrids. There's no neck or hair accessories or anything like that, and they can have the upper face accessories still, like glasses and the eye patch and all that. You can get these through the quest chain at Thoria Das in the Concordia Divide at level 15. And there's actually been some speculation from some people, although this has not been confirmed, that they might offer other ways to get these, where you don't have to actually be a certain level. But me personally, I like the fact that you have to work towards something, you know. So let's move on to the brand hybrids. Their stats are +1 to body, +1 to mind, and +4 to spirit. So you have the decrease in body and mind, but you have that huge increase for spirit. It's reported that the facial changes from human to brawn aren't that drastic, with the male actually being the more drastic and having the most obvious changes like horns and tentacles and all that. And they also have no hair or neck accessories yet, and the glasses, the whole upper face area stays the same, just like with the Forians. The brawn also have -10 to physical resistance and +10 to electrical resistance. You can acquire the brawn hybrid mission starting in the Torden Myers at Bran LZ. It's reported that the initial quest takes you to Orsa Garrison, followed by a significant chain of FedEx-type quests, just jumping from waypoint to waypoint. The final quest involves letting a caretaker kill you, which will reward you with one clone credit and unlocking of the brand hybrid for your character creation screen. And finally, we have the Thrax hybrids. These are the big ones. Their stats are +3 to body, +1 to mind, and +2 to spirit. So we have that inevitable increase to body and decrease to mind, which you would think would be typical of mixing your DNA with a Thrax. The Thrax hybrids are available through a quest chain on the Crucible, which is one of the main reasons that there's not really as much info about it as there are the other two. But as with all of these hybrid missions, I'm really reluctant to tell too much of the storyline info that I found out because, you know, I don't want to go and spoil anything for anyone. I understand that the storyline is very important. It's important to me, too, and I wouldn't want anybody to spoil it for me. So I'm not going to sit here and give a complete walkthrough of these missions, you know. But from what I've heard about these, they do tie into the story extremely well because you might be wondering, like, well, how the heck can they have a half-human, half-Thrax? And will it still fit in our regular armor? You know, do we have to have a specialized armor? Or, you know, how would you even get these two together anyway? Was there, like, dinner and a movie involved? Or, you know, but it's all answered in these mission storylines, the way they tie them together. So just make sure you actually read through them once they're live. Now, again, though, let me just point out that this is preliminary info that I got from people playing on the test server, which means several things. Mostly, the biggest thing being that this could all change once it goes on the live server. So just, you know, keep that in mind when you hear me talk about this, because as much as we all enjoy the speculation of what these hybrids can mean for the game, it's still in its testing phase. Okay, so on to other news of this patch. It's also reported that there will be a significant improvement to the Myers area, because I guess the devs are aware of the problem there as far as lag and latency goes. And I think I did mention that last episode, so I'm just reiterating that here. Plus, we also get the hide helmet option, which will be really cool just to show off our faces and hair and like kind of add a little bit to role-playing and also to the uniqueness of your character. But it is one of those things that many players have been begging for, so it's just cool to know that the devs listen to what the people are saying. So on to some other news besides this patch. They've also made in-game audio files available for download. They have, like, the things that you hear in battle, like either from the AFS or from the Bane or whatever. So you can certainly expect to hear many of those clips thrown into future podcast episodes. Also, this last week, I was a guest on the Behind the Front Lines podcast, which is like the official Planet TR podcast hosted by Sonic and Kilgore, and it acts like a kind of a collaborative project with several of the Planet TR community members working on it. And, you know, I must say, it was really a lot of fun. It was cool. There were four of us all together, and it was cool just to get together with other people and just talk about, you know, the latest news and different aspects of the game and everything. It was really cool. And I also think it made for a pretty entertaining and informative show, just having us all together like that. So I hope these guys will have me on again soon, because it's really nice to just sit back and talk about this game we all love, and then, you know, especially not have to edit it afterwards. And, you know, these last few weeks I've really enjoyed getting myself more involved, whether it be the Friday Night Fights events, or the role-playing events, or the Planet TR forums, or even their podcasts. It's just, it's a great community altogether with everything that is involved in all of that. In fact, there was something kind of interesting that happened on the last role-playing event at the Forian base. They have the tavern night there on Saturday nights. Sarah Morrison actually stopped by, which was it really caught us all by surprise. So if you haven't heard this podcast yet, go check out the forums at planettr.com, and they have a section there for Behind the Front Lines itself, where you can go there and you can leave feedback about the shows or whatever you want to do. And also they have a new spot on iTunes under the name Behind the Front Lines, so go check them out. So let's talk about the Biotechnician, shall we? The Biotechnician class is a Tier 3 class, meaning that it's only available at level 15 through level 29. And like all little good members of the AFS, we remembered to clone just before we pinged 15, right? Right. The biotech is the line of training we go through if we'd like to eventually become an exobiologist or a medic at Tier 4, or level 30, of course. This was the first line that I brought through up to level 30, and it's still one of my favorites. I play my exo every once in a while, although I do love that spy. I can't wait to talk about the spy, because I got a lot of things that I could talk about there. But even now when I do play my spy, there's still a lot of things that I miss about the other side of the fence there, you know, with the specialist side and the biotechnician side and the exobiologist side, because especially the repair tool and the healing, that's one of the biggest things that I really miss. But even though, you know, the whole specialist side of the fence is considered a support class, there are some very potent ways to cause some damage as a biotechnician. It just really takes a little bit more planning and some keen strategy. So let's first get into the new armor available to us as a biotech, and that's the Bio-Body Armor. It, of course, requires the Bio-Body Armor training skill, which increases the health regeneration by 1% per piece for each pump of that skill that you increase. Plus, it has the added bonus of working in a radius. So, like at pump 1, the regen rate of 1% per piece happens within 2 meters of you. But at pump 5, the 5% regen rate per piece happens within a 32-meter radius of you. So, even without the repair tools, you're actually still repairing your squad mates just by being in their presence with this bio armor on. In addition to this, you also have the base regen rate of 25% to yourself, which is the highest regen rate of any armor available so far. Personally, I love my bio armor, even though it has a lower base armor than most other armors at the same level, but the regen rate is just, it can't be beat. What I'll usually do is I'll usually mix some hazmat with some bio armor for the added protection plus the regen bonuses. Of course, I won't be winning any Forian-based beauty contests like that, but I think it works fairly well. For the biotech's weapon, we're now introduced to a fantastic new weapon, the injector gun, which is available with pumping some skill points into the injection gun training skill. I'll read a little bit from the description it has on the TR Wiki. It says, "The injection gun is a small, single-handed weapon similar to a pistol. Its optimal range is 50 meters, but it cannot be fired at all past that range. The weapon holds a total of 25 rounds per clip. Unlike most other weapons, it does not fire at a constant rate of speed. Instead, it is capable of firing 2 rounds in quick succession, followed by a brief pause, and then 2 more rounds, etc., until the clip is empty. Reload times are about the same as the base reload time on a standard pistol." And also, let me just throw in that, like a pistol, the injector gun can overheat at times. Standard injection guns inflict virulent damage. This damage fully bypasses all armor and does additional damage over time. At later levels, injection guns that do other kinds of damage may be obtained, including electric, incendiary, which is fire, and cryogenic, which is ice. The armor bypassing properties of these weapons depend on the user's skill level with the injection gun. At training level 5, 50% of all non-virulent damage bypasses the target's armor. The injection gun may be slightly hampered by its short range and slower rate of fire, but its ability to do large amounts of damage directly to a target's health can make it a devastating weapon. Yes, I could not agree more. And one thing in this description that it only mentions in passing, but I think it's a wonderful attribute, is the fact that it does the DOT damage, or damage over time. I can't tell you how many times I've shot a round or two into one bane, and then switched targets, shot another round or two into another one, and then just kept going down the line, like I'm not even waiting for the first one to die before I move on to the second one, because I know that damage over time will take them down in a second or two. And once you get your timing down, you can actually start clearing out some lower level mobs with ease, like just running right past them and just shooting at them. Like, I can think of one time when I was just having a blast. I was running past some Thrax. I was down by the Bane base in Palisades, and I would run by these masses of Thrax, just shoot one, shoot the next, keep shooting, like switching targets, shooting, and I'm running past them the whole time. I'm like running and shooting, and I didn't even wait to see them die because I knew that they were dying because I was getting these little blue XP numbers flashing on my screen showing me that those ugly little buggers are just dying left and right from those shots I'm throwing at them. So it's kind of a cool thing. It's like it makes you feel like you're in a movie or something. Good times. So anyway, let's get into the Logos abilities for the Biotechnician. First we have Bio-Augmentation. Its description says, utilize Micromech and Logos to enhance the natural potentials of the target. Each pump level increases a different attribute. So what they're saying here is, it's a way for you to buff your teammates by 50% for certain attributes. Like, take for example, pump 1 buffs health, pump 2 buffs power, pump 3 buffs body, pump 4 buffs mind, and pump 5 buffs spirit. And they all do this at a plus 50% rate across the board, and they all last for 4 minutes also. This ability requires the Logos Enhance, Friend, and Power to work. Now this is one of those abilities where it doesn't really improve itself with a higher pump, but it just simply offers more variants. It's something that you would need an entire ability bar to use, as with, there's other ones like that, like Reinforcements is like that for the Ranger, Polymorph for the Spy is like that, where it doesn't really get better the higher you go, it just offers different variations. But an example of one that the damage does increase just progressively is something like Lightning, where it's just a straightforward attack, and you just get more damage, and you get, a couple other things, like the way it arcs and everything like that, but anyway, this is not like that. This is a thing where you can get pretty comparable abilities in each pump of it, but it's just the fact that you have different ones for each pump, which is kind of a cool way of doing it. To tell you the truth, though, I don't really use this ability that much, and it's not really that it's a bad ability, but the cost of it is just, like, each time you use it, you not only need to use from 100 to 150 power, but also you need 4 medical-grade Micromech, which cost about 150 credits each. And I know they're working on balancing the cost of some of this ammo in the game, and I also realize that this doesn't even come close to being the most expensive consumable or ammo item, but I'm kind of a cheapskate sometimes, so that was an issue for me. So the next ability we have is called Cure. It's actually a replacement for the original ability, which was called Frighten, back before patch 1.3. This ability removes debuffs of any type from the Biotechnician and their group. Starting at pump level 3, this ability actually resuscitates fallen comrades. Resuscitation works on any friendly unit, but removal of debuffs only works on group members. It requires the Logos Enhance, Heal, and Control. So I'll just go down the line and describe what each pump does, since they're so different. Pump 1 removes debuffs from yourself only. Pump 2 is the AoE version that affects squad mates in a 15-meter radius. Of course, AoE, if you don't know, is area of effect. Pump 3 resurrects one ally with a 50% resuscitation penalty and works within a 60-meter radius. Now, Pump 4, it not only removes debuffs, but it also prevents them for 25 seconds on a single target within a 60-meter radius. And then Pump 5, as you would imagine, just does the works. It resurrects every dead ally within a 10-meter radius with a reduced resuscitation penalty, and it removes debuffs on all in range as well. This is another one of those abilities that are strictly for the support role. So if you're comfortable with putting your weapon away and dedicating yourself to keeping your squad mates alive, then this is for you. Of course, this really only works in group situations, and if you're more of a solo player, this might not be the ability for you, unless, of course, you keep it at pump 1. And for the last ability, we have Reconstruction. Its in-game description says, utilize Logos to siphon health from enemies in a radius while also healing and buffing yourself and nearby squadmates. Each pump level offers different versions of the reconstruction effect, so it's another one of those with different versions for each pump. Basically, what they're saying is, while dealing slight damage to the nearby enemies, you'll also be gaining health or spirit attributes or even adrenaline at the higher levels. To use this one, you'll need the Logos Area, Give, and Heal. Again, this one gets a little complicated, but I'll go over it at each pump to explain it a little bit better. But I really think this one is worth explaining because it's a great ability. At pump 1, you'll get an instant heal to you and squad mates within a 15-meter radius. You also deal a medium amount of damage. It doesn't say how much exactly, it just says medium, to all the enemies within that same radius. And then at pump 2, the power cost goes up to 60 from 50, which it was on pump 1. Plus, there's the added benefit of buffing your spirit attribute and debuffing your enemy's spirit attribute for 15 seconds within that same radius. At pump 3, we do something a little bit different. It actually adds to the overall health of all friendlies and reduces the overall health of enemies within 15 meters for 60 seconds. This addition or reduction is 50% of the total pool. 50%, that's huge. And it really makes pump 3 a very attractive ability to throw in your bar. Even if you just pump it past that for other reasons, it's like pump 3 is just its own ability in itself almost. One important thing to notice though when using this ability at pump 3 is that sometimes you might cast it on something that's already injured. And it will look like its health bar actually goes up. The red part of the health bar increases. And that might throw you off a little bit and make you think that the ability is actually working the opposite of the way it's supposed to. And you might think it's bugged or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, what it's doing is it's reducing the overall health of the enemy. So the remaining health now takes up a higher percentage of the overall that remains. I hope that makes sense, but just trust me, it's working. And it's working well. So, moving right along, we have pump 4, which goes back to dealing slight damage while doing moderate healing to the 15-meter radius for 15 seconds at a cost of 80 power. But you might be adding up the numbers here and thinking, why does this seem like it's lower than pump 1 and 2? Well, the thing is, the major difference here is it's damage and healing over time. So those 15 seconds, it's a constant thing. It's not just a one-time heal or damage, which is very, very effective. And finally, at pump 5, you use 100 power to get basically the same thing as pump 4, with the damage dealt just a little bit higher. But the biggest change is the addition of an adrenaline boost. Now this here, adrenaline, is huge considering the importance of adrenaline once you hit level 30 and you start using your primary attributes, which all rely on adrenaline. So, in all, I guess I would call this a very important ability for your biotech, whether you're a solo or a group player, because there are advantages everywhere with this ability here. This is also one of those abilities that are considered behind the scenes, I guess you could say, because if the tank or the heavy damage dealer of the group, he may not realize that it's not him doing everything. You know, you're the one that's making them more effective in combat, but more importantly, you're actually the one keeping them alive in the process, and you're extending their longevity so that they can do all that damage. So I guess that's it. A word of advice from me when playing a biotech is just, you know, expect to heal. I made this mistake early on when I was playing my bio because I wanted to be an exobiologist ultimately down the line. And I had my sights on, you know, raising the dead and all that stuff. That was why I wanted to be an exobiologist. I had no interest in healing people, so I was really unprepared for the expectation that I was going to be the party healer when I was a biotech. And it makes a lot of people angry if you don't just assume this role right away. But from levels 15 to 29, and even now, I guess, as an exobiologist sometimes, I'm still the one that's expected to keep the party alive in instances or group situations. So just prepare yourself for that. Have a radial repair, a radial healing, and of course a direct healing tool at the ready. And you'll be fine. And if you do enjoy being the healer, which is, you know, that's great. I'm not putting that down at all. Then more power to you, because this is just an early taste of your future career in watching health bars. The fan site of the week this week is Tabula Spot over at tabulaspot.com. That's TABULASPOT.com. As they say on their front page, we are the game mechanics people. It's considered the only dedicated mechanics community for Tabula Rasa. And no, by that I don't mean that they're the guys who fix the transporters. I mean, these are the people who are hardcore into the math and the numbers part of the game. Now, while I can't really include myself in this group of people, only because I'm kind of a moron when it comes to this kind of thing, but I am really fascinated by it all. And people who can crunch the numbers enough to, you know, build the perfect Logos bar or the perfect combination of armor, abilities, pump levels, attributes, and weapons and all that to just blow away anything that the devs could have imagined, these are the people who I just bow down to. And I think that this community is made up of those types of people. But don't let my description fool you, though, because this isn't a bunch of dry, straight, you know, straight by the book pencil pushers. These are actually some creative people on this site, people who think outside the box. They're not only about dissecting the mechanics from a math and numbers perspective, but mainly from a theoretical perspective. What they have is they have these theories on everything. Like, they have an aggro theory, a threat theory, which is really, really interesting, because if you see things, like you have a modifier for a lot of your weapons that say perceived threat minus 40% or whatever. They explain it on here. And they also have some tier 4 class guides, which are really great. They have these wonderful movies showing instance strategies and some other strategies throughout the game. But it's really great. It's a great site for someone who wants to just go way beyond just the Twitch-based click-and-shoot playing and just get behind some real solid understanding of all the amazing work that the devs put into how this game actually works. Also, another great feature of the site is the Rasmussen file, which is it's a role-playing blog contributed to by the members of the community. You might see a bit of a pattern here with some of these websites. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, we got, you know, Planet TR, Friday Night Fights, Tabula Spot, Tabula Rasa Role Players. Most of these I've already used as a fan site of the week, but what it is a lot of these sites collaborate with each other, and they kind of work with each other. Like, for example, Planet TR hosts the spot where you go to find out about Friday Night Fights now, since the Friday Night Fights website went down. And all of these, well, most of these, like Planet TR, Friday Night Fights, and then there's the Behind the Frontlines podcast, of course, they're all hosted by Uber Guild Radio. So that's why there's this unity with those, but they also branch out. You know, you have the Tabula Rasa Role Players and Tabula Spot, which are all a collaboration, and I just think it's really great and encouraging to know that it's not like a competitive thing with these guys. It's like the true meaning of a community. So if you're in the theories and a more in-depth understanding of how the mechanics of Tabula Rasa works, then head on over to www.tabulaspot.com. And now it's time for the top 5 tips of this episode. Starting with number 5, in no particular order, don't use your weapon as a baseball bat. Sure, you can do it. I mean, there's that stat on your weapon telling you how much melee damage that you can do with your weapon, but it's not really worth it because it almost immediately jams your weapon or just completely damages your weapon, and that's really no fun. I honestly believe that there are many aspects to this game that had different intentions, and maybe they'll eventually be made obsolete, like the hand-to-hand combat skill and doing melee damage with the butt of your rifle, just a couple of those things. But Unless, of course, they have something epic up their sleeves regarding hand-to-hand combat, which I wouldn't mind one bit. You know, if this is something that they're planning on using more in the future, then hey, more power to them. Number four, slide, don't leap. When you want to get down to a lower level quickly, and you find yourself standing at the edge of a cliff looking down, and you're dreading that inevitable damage that you'll do, not only to your health, but also to your armor and your weapon, don't just jump off the edge of the cliff. What I'll do is I'll actually inch myself a little bit further and further, ever so slightly, until I can just find myself sliding my butt down the side of the cliff. And you'll notice that when you do this, you don't take any damage once you get to the bottom. And I don't know if this is a bug or not. I'm not really sure. But all I know is that it does work. Of course, it doesn't always work on every cliff face, because some have more ridges and jaggedy edges and stuff like that. Plus, you have to pay attention to how far up you are. You know, pretty soon you'll get kind of a feel for how far you can jump without dying. Like, I know in the plateau, is a pretty good example. Towards the southern area of the plateau, there's these waterfalls. And first time, I'm floating down these rivers, and, you know, you come up to a waterfall, I look down, and I'm like, oh, well, I've jumped waterfalls before, you know, back in pinhole caves. So you jump down it, and it takes about 2 seconds to hit the ground, because that's how far up you are, and, yeah, you don't really make it. But, you know, sliding is one of those things that I just found out, it just works a lot better than jumping, and of course, you can always repair yourself and all that stuff later, but it helps when you're going out to find a mission or you're going out to seek something that you might need every little bit of armor absorption that you're going to take. All right, so number three, don't be afraid to pack an extra set of armor for certain situations. The most glaring example of this that I can think of is having a set of motor assist for those times when you just want to run to a location without really engaging in combat. But, you know, there are many other applications for this. I just find that having multiple sets of armor for multiple situations works the same as it does for the weapons in this game. You know, this game is not a game of just getting one certain weapon and one certain armor set and then you're set, you know, and that's it. You have situational weapons and armor, as any good player in any good MMO will tell you. Number two, be aware of the 7-day buffer period between clans. When you leave a clan, you have to wait 7 days before you can join or make a new clan. Now, I can certainly understand why this was put into place. I imagine there's multiple reasons, and there's, you know, you want to protect clan leaders from those clan hoppers that go from clan to clan, especially in PvP. I imagine people do that a lot. Personally, I think it's a bit excessive, but, you know, I'm just mentioning this for you now, just to be aware that it does exist. And finally, the number one tip for this episode is abandon those defense and assault token missions. I think I've mentioned this before in passing on the show, but I just wanted to explain it a little bit in detail. What you have is you have, in every control point, there are NPCs offering a mission for the defense token gathering and one for assault token gathering. Now, defending and assaulting control points are a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy doing them. But you don't actually need the missions open or taking up space in your logbook to complete them. All you need to do is check your backpack, and then on the second to last tab, second from the bottom, there's a mission items tab. And you look for the tokens in there. And they will have like a little white number on the lower right-hand corner of the token icon that shows how many you have. If you have 25 or more, you can then go and get the mission from that NPC. You can turn them in and get the reward, and then you don't have to worry about keeping it sitting in your log, taking up space and all that. And you also notice that these missions renew. So once you turn it in, you get the reward, it'll be right back there again, so you can get 25 more if you wanted to. So I just think this is a much better way of approaching this system than to keep all of those control point token quests active at all times. And now on to the emails of the last 2 weeks. The first one is from Disaster, which is an awesome name, by the way. He says, "Hiya, Sean. First, I'd like to say that I like your podcast very much. Your analytical approach to things is refreshing and helps me seeing the game from a different angle. I even learned a few bits, even though I'd consider myself a hardcore gamer on a casual gamer's time budget. Hey, I know how that is. When I heard your last podcast that made the Tier 1 classes complete, and also dabbled a bit into attributes and the importance of having your character planned out ahead, I thought you might be interested in taking a look at the character planner a friend of mine has coded. It's called Tabula Rasa Character Planning Tool, and hosted on our clan, Crymore PvP Clan on Centaurus' website. I'll just put the link to that in the show notes for today if somebody wants to check that out. He says, I hope you like it, as it has more features and is a lot more current than the other planning tools that I know of out there. Once patch 1.42 hits live, we hopefully will have attribute formulas cracked and the tool updated, so attribute assignment for the tool actually does something other than adding digits to a counter. If you find something you'd like to add or discuss, feel free to register on our board and give some info. Keep up the good work, mate. Disaster. Now, there are a lot of these character building tools out there. I think I've seen probably about four of them so far, but I personally, and I would advise you not to even touch the ones that you need to download, because you don't know what you're downloading, especially if it's an .exe file. So I'd avoid those. But the good thing about this one is it's actually a browser-based character creation, and there are other ones also, but it seems to work quite well. And like he said, there's not really too much you can do with the attributes in these character builders until they make attributes more effective and mean a lot more, which they're going to do in patch 1.4, they say. So anyway, if you're looking for something like that to help plan out your character stats, and go ahead and check this one out. I'll put a link to it in today's show notes. And of course, thanks D for the kind words in this email also. This next one is from Gio, who writes, I just wanted to say that I love your podcast. I played TR during beta and for a short time after its retail release, but quit. And after hearing your podcast, it re-energized my enthusiasm for the game. The one thing I liked most about your podcast was that you give actual information about game mechanics and play styles instead of just reading through patch notes and praising or whining about the game. Keep up the awesome work. Well, I've always thought that, you know, anybody can talk about a game. You can get any monkey to sit in front of a microphone and read patch notes and talk about things that that they don't feel passionate about. And you can tell, you know, you can always tell when someone does something and they don't really feel the passion about it. And this is something that I feel, as my personal opinion, that this is prevalent in the types of podcasts where people get paid to do it. And I'm not saying I wouldn't like to get paid to do this. I would love it. I would actually, you know, I would absolutely love that. But what I'm saying is the people who work for these bigger companies, and then they're like, hey, why don't we go ahead and make a podcast? You know, we already make a magazine. We already have a giant website that's highly successful. Why don't we go ahead and make a podcast too? I hear that, you know, that's what all the kids are doing these days. So then they go ahead and they make a podcast, and they're like, okay, who wants to be the podcast host? Anyone? Anyone? And then they just pick someone out and they're the podcast host, and there might even be times when they don't even know what they're talking about in the game. So they go, somebody else writes it for them, they read what somebody else wrote, and you know, this is just one of those things that's inevitable, it happens everywhere, but I'm just really glad that people understand when they listen to this show and to my other shows that I do have an enthusiasm for this stuff, because I really do love it. I write these episodes that I talk about. I mean, I write the notes for them, and I fill it in with my own enthusiasm here and there, and it's just one of those things where I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't feel strongly about this game. So it's good to know that people recognize that, and most of all, appreciate it. So I appreciate you writing the email to me saying that you appreciate it. Does that make sense? That'll wrap up another episode of Tabula Cast. I want to thank you all for listening, and if you have any feedback at all, you can email me at sean@tabulacast.com. That's S-H-A-W-N at tabulacast.com. Or you can use the contact form on the website at www.tabulacast.com. I also want to mention that Tabula Cast has a spot on MySpace that I made a few weeks ago, but I've just never mentioned it yet, but it's over at myspace.com/tabulacast, and feel free to add me as a friend if you'd like. I'm not huge into MySpace. I do have a, you know, I have a Guildcast page. I have a one for Oh My God Real Life, which I also have not announced, but I figured I'd make one for TabulaCast too. So it's right now, it's just, you know, it's got the kind of a little better than average background, and you know, with the TR logo in the background and things like that. It's nothing fancy, but one day I might actually spruce it up a little bit. But if you're interested in that at all, go ahead and add me on there. Also, if you're looking for other podcasts on other MMOs, you can head on over to the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective at virginworlds.com, and you can see if there's something over there for you. Might I recommend Guildcast and Oh My God Real Life, which are both phenomenal shows with just an amazing host, I must say. But until next time, this is Sean signing off.